It is Tuesday, March 19th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle.
Ahead on Ozarks, gubernatorial candidate Bill Halter sits down for a conversation, pondering the hows and whys of a sinkhole in Benton County. And the band Water Liars play a pair of songs inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
Plus, a Medicaid plan may not cost as much as some state officials originally thought. A ride on the new Spirit of Mercy helicopter and a coalition in Fort Smith helps provide lunches for some who would otherwise go without during spring break.
First, Republicans are reacting with skepticism to a proposal by Democratic gubernatorial candidate Bill Halter. Yesterday, we aired comments from Halter, who would like to expand a scholarship program and allow all students who graduate high school with a 2.5 grade point average to attend a public college tuition-free. State Republican Party Chairman Doyle Webb says he doesn't think that's feasible.
Mr. Halter is not seeing a government program that he doesn't like, whether it's free education or free health care. Certainly, it's altruistic to want to provide these things, but you have to pay for them at the end of the day.
Halter said it could be paid for without raising taxes by combining the lottery scholarship, federal grant aid, additional private scholarships, and charitable support. Meanwhile, Republican candidate Curtis Coleman today is scheduled to announce what he would do as governor to enhance services for veterans.
Officials with the Arkansas Department of Workforce Services report a slight increase in the state's unemployment rate. Department spokeswoman Kimberly Friedman says unemployment in Arkansas was up by 0.1 percentage point from 7.1% in December to 7.2% in January.
We did see a decrease in the total labor force and specifically a decrease in the number of employed Arkansans, and that did contribute largely to Arkansas's rate increasing just slightly in January. The rate increase was not unexpected, and it does mirror the trend seen at the national levels.
Stats from the agency shows the state's civilian labor force decreased by 3,300 in January. Friedman says Arkansas's current unemployment rate is lower than it was in January 2012, when the state's rate was 7.4%.
Two state lawmakers want to promote the aviation industry in Arkansas. Senator Jeremy Hutchinson and Representative Joel Jett yesterday announced the formation of the Arkansas Aerospace and Aviation Caucus at the Capitol. Hutchinson, a Republican from Little Rock, says it's an important industry for the state.
It produced in just 2012 alone more than $1.8 billion in U.S. exports, which is the largest export that came out of Arkansas. There are 9,000 jobs in Arkansas due exclusively to the aerospace industry. And what purpose of this caucus is to, A, to help educate other legislators, because until recently it's been a rather quiet, nondescript industry that's benefited a lot but hasn't ever asked for a lot.
He says the caucus is laying the groundwork for future education and economic development efforts aimed at the aviation industry. There's no plan to unveil the efforts during the current legislative session.
A political group helping to oust Mark Pryor from office says it thinks its six-figure spending spree is working. The advertisement campaign is financed by the Club for Growth and links the two-time Democratic senator to the president's federal health plan passed by Congress. The group says since the ads began airing on Arkansas TV stations, support for Senator Pryor has slipped in their polls. Senator Pryor officially launched his reelection campaign in Little Rock this past weekend.
The Arkansas Razorback women's basketball team will compete in the WNIT tournament. The bracket was announced last night, and the Razorbacks will host Memphis Thursday night at Bud Walton Arena. Arkansas Little Rock also received a bid, but fans wishing for an in-state rivalry game in the tournament would have to wait. The two Arkansas teams could not meet until the finals, meaning both teams will have to win five games each before that potential matchup.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the upper 30s in the Arkansas River Valley and upper 20s for northwest Arkansas. Tomorrow is expected to be sunny with highs near 50 for northwest Arkansas and reaching into the upper 50s in the Arkansas River Valley. And for tomorrow night, increasing cloudiness with lows from 28 to 36 degrees.
This is Ozarks at Large. It's 594 days until Election Day 2014, In political terms, that's almost tomorrow. Candidates are already releasing position statements, campaigning, and, of course, raising funds. Former Arkansas Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter is, as of now, the only formally announced candidate seeking the Democratic nomination. He recently sat down with Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas. Roby asked him why he was seeking this office instead of other possibilities.
Well, I think that the state of Arkansas has a great number of issues in front of it. We've made some good progress, but from the governor's position, best position to advance the state. And for the last 30 years, I've been concerned about education and economic development in Arkansas, and we have some ideas that we're going to put out there about how to advance that. Roby, all my life, Arkansas has been either 48th or 49th in almost everything that matters. We're beginning to make some good progress, but we have a ways to go, and it's going to take leadership and, I think, new ideas to help advance us.
I know you're going to tell me that the response to your announcement has been overwhelming. Every politician tells me the response has been overwhelming.
Right.
So I have typically noticed that the person who raises the most money does pretty well. Right. I go back to your 2010 race, very competitive with you and Senator Lincoln.
Right.
Are you going to report $1 million on your first campaign finance report?
I tell you what, Roby, I'm going to hold off until April 15th when that finance report is due. Let me just say that I have been gratified by the response that I've received from previous donors and new donors. But more importantly, I've been gratified by the response of volunteers all over the state of Arkansas. You know this as a guy who's been involved in campaigns before, how difficult it is, particularly early on, to have people volunteer for your campaign. And so I'm happy to tell you that we have over 400 volunteers all over the state who have already said, you know, we're in and we'd like to help. Now, look, fundraising is obviously important, but we'll leave that story for another day.
You can tell me if it's going well or not.
It's going
that?
Well.
Okay. You've been a supporter of the Regnet Populus effort to reform state ethics.
Yes.
One of the provisions of that initiative is that it would eliminate contributions from corporations or unions. Are you going to abide by that rule in this campaign, even though it's not the law of the land?
Well, no, here's the deal. When you're in a competitive race, when you're in an athletic competition, you operate under the rules of the game at the time. Now, I would like to see those rules changed, but I owe it to my supporters and I owe it to running the best possible campaign to abide by the rules as they exist. And that's what we're going to do. So we will be very aggressive within the current rules. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I'd like to see those rules change.
All right. Supporters say you're a maverick in the political process. Some say you're too liberal. You and I have discussed some areas where you consider yourself
right.
very conservative,
right.
and there's obviously room for moderation in politics. Daily
okay.
Coast, popular mm-hmm. national left-of-center blog, says
yep.
this about your 2014 governor's bid. This should be a race that progressives should be very excited about. Halter is a true progressive Democrat who was bold enough to stand up for gay rights in the state of Arkansas and was despised by the political establishment. Who or what is this political establishment, and why do they despise
well,
you?
Well, let me just say this. I don't know who they're referring to, and I'm unaware of being despised by whoever that is. But let me say this. Look, all this stuff is kind of fun in its own way. Now, I think it is fair to say that the folks who have who are ingrained in the political process and have a stake in it and don't want to see things changed, they're not likely to be the folks who are going to rally to my campaign. But for those folks who'd like to see education improve in the state of Arkansas, for those folks who'd like to see new ideas, for those folks who'd like to see a businessman bring a businessman's perspective to government, I think I'm going to do pretty well among those audiences. And for the people who are going to really resonate with new ideas, I think we're going to do very well.
Tell me how you self-describe your politics.
Oh, well, look, it doesn't have a one-word label. If there is a one-word label, that the first one I would reach for is Arkansan. The next one I would reach for is American. Maybe if you want to go to a third, say pragmatist, problem solver. You know, my experience in public and private organizations is actually getting things done, and sometimes very difficult things. And that's what we need to do in Arkansas. We've got some difficult things that will pay off very well, but we need to get them done. Now, in terms of liberal, moderate, progressive, conservative, all that stuff, it varies by the issue. I will match my record of fiscal responsibility with any person that's considering running for governor. Look, I was part of a team that balanced the federal budget for the first time in 30 years and perhaps the last time in 30 years. I would say that as the leader, the chief operating officer of Social Security, we cut expenses while at the same time delivering better service. Now, I've been on the board of directors of 10 private sector high-tech companies. I doubt anybody in that boardroom would be using a label like liberal or moderate or conservative. You don't talk in those terms in a corporate boardroom. When you're trying to get a business established, you talk about what works. You talk about investing. You talk about what's going to be successful for the company. You talk about meeting a bottom line. So all of this stuff, I mean, look, there's no person that I know that could be appropriately summarized in a one-word label, and I just reject the idea of doing it.
All right. Let's talk about a couple of issues at the legislature right now. As governor, would you have signed or vetoed the abortion measures that passed?
Look, your constitutional responsibility, if you're told that the bills are unconstitutional, your responsibility is to veto them and to say to anybody that'll listen, these measures are going to be overturned in court. You know, the only oath that you swear as a governor, When you're inaugurated, it's an oath I've taken at least twice in my life, once leading the Social Security Administration, another time as Lieutenant Governor. You raise your right hand, you put your left hand on a Bible, and you swear to uphold the Constitution of the state of Arkansas and the Constitution of the United States. And if you're informed that a bill is unconstitutional, you have no choice. You have to oppose it.
All right. The discussion right now at the state capitol is to move Medicaid expansion dollars into the health insurance exchanges as a private option.
Yeah.
Are you pleased with the direction that that debate has taken?
Let me say this. What I am pleased by is that the probability of Arkansas getting a massive infusion of federal dollars to advance health care for our citizens looks like that the probability of that happening is increasing. Keep in mind, when the legislative session started, given that 75% requirement that's in both houses to enact this, there was real doubt about whether that was going to happen. And what would have happened if, and still would happen, if Arkansas rejects this opportunity, you would have Arkansas taxpayers paying their federal tax dollars to provide health care for citizens of other states while not getting access to that health care for Arkansans. That just makes no sense.
60 seconds here. A variety of tax cut measures on the table. We got capital gains tax cuts. We got the governor's grocery tax reduction. You've got some small business targeted taxes. And then you've got income tax bracket reform. Yeah. Do you have a preference on any of those?
Look, I would say this, that what we need to be doing with tax policy is what we need to be doing across the board with policy in the state of Arkansas. That is to do the maximum amount that we can after funding the needs of the government, because we have a balanced budget requirement. We need to do the maximum amount we can to provide people with incentives for job growth. And we also need to make sure that those taxes are fair, that middle-income Arkansans don't wind up unfairly handling the burden of taxation.
Roby Brock talked to Democratic gubernatorial nominee candidate Bill Halter in Little Rock. You can hear more from the conversation at talkbusiness.net. Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.
On the next Fresh Air, on the 10th anniversary of the start of the Iraq War, we talk with Aaron Glantz of the Center for Investigative Reporting. He arrived in Iraq just after Saddam Hussein fell, but for the past few years, he's been covering the lives of American veterans and investigating why many of them face lengthy delays in receiving disability benefits from the VA. Join us.
Fresh Air tonight at 6 on KUAF.
Thousands of school children, college students, and families are taking some amount of time off this week for spring break. For some, it's a chance to take a break from work or studies. But for others, spring break can be a challenge. For some students on free or reduced lunch, the absence of school means the absence of a meal. This week, a handful of restaurants in Fort Smith and vicinity are helping out donating lunches. Ken Kupchick is the director of marketing and development for the River Valley Regional Food Bank in Fort Smith. I reached him at his office yesterday afternoon.
I guess it all began with the fact that we know there's free and reduced meals in school. And just recently, the government has enacted some summer meal programs. And in the Fort Smith area, only limited schools in Fort Smith and Van Buren and Crawford County in our area down here have those actual summer meals. And we went, what about these other kids? And just unfortunately, logistically, they're just too hard to serve, and they're left on their own. And the realization came through is if there's summer hunger, then there's even spring break hunger. In fact, not too long ago, the decision was made by the Fort Smith School District Representative Benny Gooden to keep schools open on a somewhat snowy day because he said we realized that this was the only meal these kids were probably going to get was going to be the lunch they had at school. So with that, you know, hunger even for a day is unacceptable. And so we know, we think in our head, spring break, that's skiing, that's, you know, take your choice, the slopes or the beach. But these kids, it's not even so much that they're going where they're going to go. They know they're not going to have a spring break vacation. But unfortunately, it's a stressful time.
What are the logistics of the lunches? How is that happening now this week, this spring break?
Well, what we're doing, we picked local restaurateurs for the most part, or some businesses or nonprofit organizations in and around the area of the Windsor Branch. Windsor Branch has a tendency to serve a more lower profile clientele. And we knew from past experience in talking to Jennifer Goodson, the executive director of the library system here, that many kids spend their entire spring break at the library. And when I asked her, well, what do they do for lunch? And she says they eat nothing all day. They come without breakfast and go home, and it's maybe they'll get something when they get home. So with that, we knew we could do something at least at one branch, do one small gesture of goodwill and good faith. And so we started it up. Last year was our pilot program, and it quickly grew through the week as word of mouth spread that we had some lunches to offer. And we started out this year. We're already 50% more than we did last year coming forward because they knew the lunches were going to be there. So who knows where we'll be by the end of the week.
7 out of every 10 students in the Fort Smith School District receive either free or reduced lunch at school, correct?
That's right. 9,972, almost 10,000 kids in the Fort Smith District alone. It's pretty amazing. When you start looking at it at the county level, it's even more staggering. 12,800 in Sebastian County, 7,000 in Crawford County, up in your neck of the woods, 18,800 in Benton County, and Washington County has 21,600 kids that get free or reduced lunches at school. Something that's pretty hard to fathom.
And while 30 or 60 or 90 a day is great, those numbers you just mentioned show how much a drop in the bucket it really is.
Oh, yeah. And when you multiply it out to the state level, 288,000 kids. 6 out of 10 kids in the entire state of Arkansas. So we see a little bit more of it here than the state at large. I think it's about 5.6 in your neck of the woods. But still, that's one out of 10 is too many.
And if anything, perhaps this week and this sort of conversation can remind people that there are many who need help.
Yes, they do. Certainly, we don't begrudge anyone having a wonderful spring break, but we just have to realize that there's a veiled curtain there, and on the other side of it, there are some kids that this actually creates for them and their families. A crisis is how do we provide 25% more food this month than we normally do.
Ken Kupchick is the Director of Marketing and Development at the River Valley Regional Food Bank. Ken, thank you for your time.
You're quite welcome. Come down and see us.
What a special day it is for Mercy. For those of you that don't know, we're celebrating 5-year anniversary today. So we had a 5-year birthday this morning, last night, and this morning. So we've eaten cake all morning. So we're hyped up.
Last Friday, Scott Street, president and CEO of Mercy Northwest Arkansas, stood on a helipad on the hospital's campus, which is located adjacent to I-540 in Rogers. Street told a crowd of hospital staff and guests that in addition to celebrating the medical campus being open for 1,825 days, they were also celebrating the newest service the hospital will be able to provide to the community, a new emergency medical helicopter. The EC-130 helicopter has been named Spirit of Mercy and is available 24/7. The new service has been made possible through a partnership between Mercy and Air Methods Corporation. According to Mercy, the decision to select Air Methods Corporation as its partner in the MedFlight program was due to the company's reputation for excellence in the air transportation industry. During the past 6 years, Air Methods has invested more than $100 million toward helicopter safety. The organization is the only air medical provider in the United States ready to graduate the Level 3 of the Federal Aviation Administration's Voluntary Safety Management System program. In addition to the high-tech systems on board, the aircraft will also be equipped with night vision goggles, more room for patient care and access, and it is operationally safer with increased helicopter blade height and safety enclosure for the tail rotor. In addition to the personnel operating the aircraft, most trips made by the Spirit of Mercy will also include another passenger, a patient. One benefit of the new helicopter is it has the ability to land in remote places or areas that may be difficult to reach by traditional ambulance because of the rough terrain. Dr. Larry Weathers is a cardiologist who has been practicing for 33 years and who has worked at Mercy since 2008. Dr. Weathers has recently started doing outreach in Gravette, Berryville, and Southwest City, Missouri, and he says the helicopter will be beneficial to patients living in outlying communities.
When you're in one of those locations, you're at least an hour by car till you can make it to the hospital. And once a heart attack starts and an artery closes, we've got about 3 hours to get that artery open and keep the heart muscle from suffering damage. So if the person's in the emergency room here, we can get it done really quickly. We can get them down to the cath lab and we can get the artery open. But if a patient goes to one of the outlying communities, they're already subtracting an hour from their trip here, or adding an hour to their heart attack just simply because of the transportation time. So if we have this 3-hour window of opportunity to keep them heart muscle normal, if you will, then this could make the difference in multiple patients, particularly in the outlying communities. And outlying communities, at the end of the day, can be 540 under high traffic, or it can easily be an hour, can go to 2 hours on some of these outlying community roads that are under construction, or if somebody has an accident, that sort of thing. So it is a godsend for us because we can make a decision in the field about whether we have a chance to send them by ground ambulance or whether or not we need to fly over and pick them up at the scene.
Prior to having its own helicopter, Dr. Weathers says the hospital had to find air transportation elsewhere.
We would have to call a helicopter from somewhere else. And so instead of being able to leave from here and come back to here, or maybe the helicopter was not dedicated to us specifically, so they're not available. And so the biggest thing is that just purely on a statistical basis, since this helicopter will be on the ground here, we have a greater opportunity to make a difference because of it being available solely to us.
For more information on the Spirit of Mercy, visit mercy.net/NorthwestARAR. For video of what it's like to ride in the Spirit of Mercy, visit our website, ozarksatlarge.com.
It is Tuesday, March 19th, 2013. I'm Kyle Callums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Continuing to tell you how to have fun on spring break, or at least make suggestions.
Right.
There are many workshops at 1 and 3 o'clock every day this week at Terra Studios, east of Fayetteville.
You can do all sorts of things out there.
They're doing things like making pinch pots and painting pet rocks. And each of these short workshops, under an hour, costs $5.
And you can walk outside and play that giant chessboard.
And there
oh,
you
I
go.
Still haven't done that.
Yeah.
There's a juggling.
Which, sorry, there's one at XNA now. When you're going to board a plane, on the left, as you're going down to the newer part, there's a large chessboard.
See, I meant to go check out the newer part when I flew out earlier this year, and I forgot.
There's a giant chessboard.
But don't you think they ought to have replacement checkers?
Replacement checkers?
Well, not everyone plays chess.
Oh, you mean replacing them with checkers?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, maybe if you can ask. Anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
Okay. There's a juggling workshop.
Yes.
At 1 o'clock today at Ozark Folkways near Winslow. It's for children 8 to 18 or younger if accompanied by an adult. That costs $10. The spring break movie today at 2 o'clock at the Fayetteville Public Library is Peter Pan.
Is this the animated classic?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's go see.
Okay.
The Goddess Festival has a musician, singers, and songwriters sharing circle and jam session at 6:30 tonight at the Omni Center in Fayetteville. And it's Ozark Poetry Slam night at 8 o'clock at Rogue on Dixon in Fayetteville.
Very good.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
On the night of March 1st, a huge sinkhole appeared on a historic farm in Springtown in southwestern Benton County. No one was hurt, nor were any structures involved in the collapse. But as Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the unique and ecologically sensitive site remains at risk.
Just before dawn, on the morning of March 2nd, Carrie Barrett fixed herself a cup of coffee, put on her coat and mud boots, and headed out with Sue, her black and white border collie, to work in the orchard. 100 feet from the house, she almost stumbled into a giant crack in the earth.
And wasn't paying attention. It was that, you know, when it's just a little bit dark out still. And walked along and looked up just in time.
Overnight, a 35-foot section of pasture had collapsed into a 9-foot-deep sinkhole, as if someone had taken a knife and sliced open the ground, revealing layers of soil, rock, and a deep underground stream.
Yes, so that's when I first noticed it, but we knew up to that point that there was something very funny going on.
The Barrett's red barnwood chicken coop stands just a few feet away, the chickens milling around nervously inside. They watch as Carrie Barrett points to several new deep fissures forming in the pasture.
And now you can see, I don't know if you can see the dipping along here, so it's even a little larger than we thought.
An earthquake in very slow motion. Carrie Barrett and her husband Preston, a junior high school track coach, own this 16-acre farm located 10 miles west of the regional airport off Highway 12 in the village of Springtown, population 87. They purchased the land in 1997 for several reasons. A lovely historic 1875 farmhouse they've restored, named Old Girl, lots of rich tillable land, and plenty, plenty of water. Springtown's historic Big Spring, which is on their property, produces nearly 3.5 million gallons of cold, clear water per day, one of the largest springs in Benton County. It's fed by several underground streams flowing through an ancient karst limestone cave complex, emerging into a pond less than 20 feet from the farmhouse. Fat rainbow trout swirl through the crystal turquoise waters, and birds fly about. But the Barretts have also invested a small fortune working to restore and protect this remarkable watershed, including rebuilding an old stone retaining wall to prevent erosion.
We, many years ago, when we first purchased the place, the old wall was crumbling, was falling into the spring, literally. And so we didn't know how to fix this thing. And in a conversation with someone, I was talking to U.S. Fish and Wildlife about some of the things going on in here and just asking questions. And she said, you know what? She goes, I think we may be able to help you with that. And so U.S. Fish and Wildlife, we got a grant to repair the wall. We put in our own monies as well. And so U.S. Fish and Wildlife came in here and helped to repair the wall. And then all the rest of the work we've done our own.
Big Springs are resurgent headwaters of Flint Creek, a tributary to the Illinois River. The spring's been carefully documented over the years by many scientists. The U.S. Geological Survey sampled the waters, which the family pipes into the house and filters as a domestic water source. Once it leaves the pool, the spring divides downstream into two rushing creeklets, stuffed with bright green watercress. But despite numerous requests by research scientists, as well as a former Benton County environmental agent, the town mayor is constructing a new paved road right next to Big Spring. It started a decade ago when Mayor Paul Lemke secured a general permit from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and later raised nearly $232,000 in grant funding to replace a hazardous low-water bridge on East Flint Creek, just west of the Barrett's property, with a new bridge. The old bridge connected Main Street to Aubrey Long Road past the Barrett Place to County Road 352, an east-west agricultural thoroughfare. To protect the spring from traffic disturbance, the Barretts offered to give the mayor land they owned to build an alternative route from the new bridge, curving north through a mostly vacated residential district. The mayor refused and eminent domain the Barretts to widen the road in front of their farm. The matter ended up in court-ordered mediation. In early 2012, the Barretts agreed to swap their old dirt road easement next to Big Spring, extending from the old bridge, as a buffer, deeding the city a strip of property they owned to widen the road just beyond. The route parallels the Barrett farm. New road construction commenced mid-February, but Carrie Barrett was not prepared for what happened next.
And so in order to get it ready for that, they had to bring out what's called a roller. And it has a vibrating, pounding action. And I'd never witnessed one of those before since we've been here. And from what I understood, when I called the county and was asking them why this machine was out here, they said that it's to make this smooth so that they can pave it. But the action went on for quite some time, and I don't recall the house ever shaking like that. But the whole house shook. And within about an hour of that piece of machinery being out here, not only was the house shaking, but I noticed plumes of mud coming out of the spring.
The labor and equipment provided at no cost by Benton County Road Department was preparing the road to be paved. But 2 weeks later, the county crew had to return to dig up and repair a gas line which ruptured due to the heavy activity. More big trucks.
So the backhoe kept digging. And a wonderful crew of people, by the way. I just have to put that in. They're really, really a good crew. So they dug down about 4 feet and across the road to the other side. They finally found the leak and they did fix it. But while they were there, again, I felt the vibrations of the house, not nearly what they were when that big machine was out here. And then I noticed more mud coming out of the spring. And sometime in the middle of the night, the sinkhole. And first person I called was the person who would know about what's going on here, and that was Dr. Brahana.
Dr. John Van Brahana is a noted geologist and research hydrologist at the University of Arkansas Department of Geosciences. He showed up at the Barrett farm later that day.
A lot of that work, the shaking seems to be a little more intense, probably shook some of the soil down, the weight of the overlying roof, the soil, the thin soil roof, it just caved in at that point in time. Would it have done it just from traffic? Possibly. Would it have done it from a heavy rain sometime? Possibly. But I think that the actual activity of the heavy earth moving equipment and so forth probably triggered that. It had an impact on it.
Professor Brahan has been visiting the site for well over a decade, bringing students to study Big Spring as well as older, smaller sinkholes on the property. But this one gave way over a feeding stream into the spring.
It's in like a funnel. It's just broken down and in like a funnel, and that caused the spring to get muddy.
Any activity upstream, which the Barretts inadvertently learned after attempting to clean out their domestic water intake system in the pond, affects the spring's water quality downstream immediately. But within an hour after the collapse, the spring was running clear again.
It's a lovely setting, and it's been modified, and rockwork around the margins to preserve the spring. And the landowners have been wonderful in trying to maintain the spring in its original it's as close to original condition as possible.
Dr. Van Brahana said the Barrett Farm collapse is one of the largest sinkholes that's occurred in northwest Arkansas. Now, the mayor of Springtown has declined talking on the record for this report, but in an email response, he said he's building the road to code for paving to protect Big Spring from road sediment.
Robert Kleinert, Benton County Judge.
Benton County Judge Robert Kleinert says his crews routinely do road construction and grading within small rural city limits at no cost if those administrations don't have the necessary equipment. But Kleinert said he had not been told about any sinkhole until he got word from the Barretts a week later. So is the town mayor ultimately responsible for the sinkhole, or is the county?
If, and this is an if, see, if our equipment somehow can be attributed to causing the sinkhole, then probably we would take care of it, the county. As far as any city, as far as the city being responsible for some of it, I just don't know. We haven't gotten to that point.
The Barretts are asking the county or city, whoever is responsible for the sinkhole, to fix it and to stop any more construction on the roadway. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
For a slideshow documenting the Springtown sinkhole, visit ozarksatlarge.com. Arkansas could get off easier than originally estimated on the cost of insuring the state's population of working poor through private plans in the state's insurance exchange rather than through Medicaid. Nathan Vandiver with our content partner KUAR has more on how this is possible.
A new estimate from the Arkansas Department of Human Services, the Arkansas Insurance Department, and independent consultants says the cost of insuring the state's population, making incomes of 100 to 138% of the federal poverty level, may be far lower than originally estimated. State Medicaid Director Andy Allison says the difference is due to several reasons specific to Arkansas.
Our rate differential, private versus public, is much smaller, apparently, in Arkansas than it is on average around the country, really less than 25%. As opposed to the 50% or greater differential that you'll see in other states.
An estimate from the Congressional Budget Office was all anyone had to go on until now, and that pegged Arkansas's private coverage option for the Medicaid expansion pool at about 50% higher. The new estimate is that private coverage could be up to 15% higher. Allison says increased competition between insurance companies from the new population of people with insurance coverage contributes.
Adding as many as a quarter million adults under 138 of poverty to the exchange has a radical and we believe very positive impact on that marketplace. It makes that market far more attractive to private carriers. We'll likely see more competition.
He added that it's speculation, but it's based on what has happened elsewhere. Arkansas Insurance Commissioner Jay Bradford, who is also on hand, confirmed there are many insurance companies applying to become part of the exchange that could drive that competition. These new numbers could help convince many lawmakers who are on the fence about accepting federal dollars to expand health coverage in the state. DHS Director John Selig says they are receiving positive response to the new estimate.
Well, we've spoken with the governor and with the legislators we have. I mean, it's this relief that, boy, it's nothing like people were saying it might be. I mean, that was our sense when we saw the number.
Governor Mike Beebe's spokesman Matt DeCampbell agrees that it's good news.
We're very excited. I mean, and I think it's a, as far as how much of a difference it makes, that'll be something to ask the legislators.
Senator David Sanders, a Republican from Little Rock, says it wasn't long ago that legislators were told the private expansion question was off the table. He says he and other Republican lawmakers aren't ready to fully embrace the federally funded expansion of coverage, but they see the new estimate as reason to continue the discussion.
I think this gives us clearance to continue working and developing an option that is best for Arkansas.
Up to a quarter of a million Arkansans stand to gain health coverage should lawmakers decide to accept federal health insurance expansion dollars available under the Affordable Care Act. In Little Rock, I'm Nathan Vandiver.
The duo Water Liars comes from Oxford, Mississippi. Justin Pete Kinkle-Schuster plays guitar and sings lead vocals, and Andrew Bryant contributes vocals and plays the piano. They've just released a new album titled Wyoming. and they were in Fayetteville earlier this month to play at Nightbird Books. During their visit, they stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio to talk with Ozarks at Large's Katie Henriksen and play a couple of songs.
Thanks, guys, for coming to the KUAF studio and for playing some songs. I'm here with Water Liars. Welcome to KUAF.
Thank you, Katie. Thanks for having
us. Thanks for having us.
Well, my name is Justin. My friends call me Pete. I play guitar and sing and write songs.
My name is Andrew, and I play drums and sing and a lot of other stuff.
So I didn't realize you grew up in Arkansas.
Yeah, Greenwood, which is, I don't know, what's that, like an hour and a half, hour 45 south of here. Yeah, I played baseball in high school, and I got to play on the Baum Stadium over there in the state championship one year.
Yeah, he pointed that out as soon as we turned off of the highway.
It's pretty awesome.
Let's talk about the songs you're going to play in the studio.
Wyoming, a lot of people feel like that's a pretty dark song, and I would agree with that. It's about a lot of things. I don't ever want to tell people what songs mean to me because I feel like that ruins it for everyone else. Like, it definitely means things to me. And that song is about a few different things, and both real and fictional. I kind of like to let that one lie. This is Wyoming. Thank you. Lennon's, that one's pretty, I feel like that one's pretty, that's like, we wrote that to be like the pop jam.
Yeah,
or
that's our
pop jam. Hit single. Yeah. That's probably the closest I'll ever get to like writing a love song. The songs that I write are all like, I'm not capable of writing like happy, like love song. Like it just, it's not something that.
Yeah, well, didn't Cowboy Jack say something about, like, a love song is a sad song or something like
that? Yeah, I mean, I feel like happiness in terms of, you know, songs, like, I feel like that speaks for itself. It doesn't need me to speak for it.
Sounds good? I'll just do what I normally do.
Okay. This song is called Linens.
Guys, yeah. Thanks for playing your music and talking to us about your songs.
Thank you for having us,
Katie.
Water Liars is Justin Pete, Kinkle Schuster on guitar and lead vocals, and Andrew Bryant, vocals and piano. They met Ozarks at Large's Katie Hendrickson inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio a few hours before a show at Nightbird Books earlier this month. You can hear a bit more from them at our webpage, ozarksatlarge.com. Their latest album, Wyoming, is out now. They'll be back in Fayetteville for an all-ages show at Nightbird Books June 29th.
It's been 3 months since a gunman opened fire inside Sandy Hook Elementary. For a while, it seemed the country would unify behind the vow never to let it happen again. But turning that commitment into reality has proved a challenge. I'm Tom Gelton. States debate their gun laws, from arming teachers to limiting magazines. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation, coming up in just a couple of minutes at 1 o'clock on KUAF 91.3 FM.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Springtown.
Would like to, you remember last Thursday night, I was honored to be one of the hosts of the Ozark Literacy Council Piggies Go to Market.
Yes, I did not make it to that event.
Well, there were a million things going on last Thursday.
Yes.
But it was at the Town Center on the Fayetteville Square. Thursday night, Ozark Literacy Council officials say that they raised $21,500 just Thursday night.
Oh, wow.
For the entire Pigsibition, $140,000 raised, $50,000 to $55,000 of that went back to the local art industry.
Very cool. Because the artists that painted the pigs and stuff got a stipend. Is that the right word?
And then I should point out that the pig that went for the highest bid Thursday night, not in the overall, but the live auction, Priscilla White, who used to work here at Ozarks at Large and KUAF. It was her pig.
Oh, good. So how many did they have? Did they sell all of the pigs that they needed to at the event?
Yes. All 11 went.
All 11 went.
And all went for good money.
Now,
and people were very excited.
Were they... A couple of my friends were talking about this weekend. Did they go to an individual or did they go to businesses? Because we thought it seemed both.
Yes. There were people who were coming up to me that wanted to know the order that they were going to be auctioned off in.
Oh.
And some people said, our business wants one.
Sure.
This person who owns a business has said, I have my credit card.
Okay.
They were going to walk away. There was an attitude that – and people had the pigs ranked the way they wanted them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But there were people that wanted it to go put it in their front yard or something?
Backyard with a garden. That's what I kept
really?
Hearing.
Really? Backyard with a garden.
And they took them away, 200 pounds, put them in.
Oh,
you know, they're going to be there for a long time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I was curious about that.
It was a fun event.
Excellent. Yes. I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that.
Yes.
And we were talking about the water. You heard the water liars earlier in this show, and I did get to see them while they were in town at Nightbird Books.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that they had that cool little
breezeway
in between Nightbird, what's Nightbird Books and...
The garden room.
Right.
What used to be Ozark Mountain Smokehouse years ago.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool little venue for a show.
They also show movies there, right?
Apparently.
Yes.
I've not seen one of those, but it's a very intimate setting. And, you know, the guys were hanging out in the back when the opener was up there and everybody's just kind of talking and hanging out and... Yeah, I liked it. So it's really cool that they're doing that. I had no idea.
One more thing in this area.
I kept thinking they were doing it in the bookstore.
Nope.
You know, just close it down.
They do have some music in the bookstore.
Sure.
Because in the middle of December, you're not going to go in the breezeway.
Right. Well, they did have heaters in there. It was warm that night, so
okay.
We didn't really need them. But they did have space heaters just in case.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Filled out your bracket yet?
No, I need to do that. Do I have time still?
Depends what pool you're in.
Oh, dear.
Some are saying, no, the tournament begins tonight because you have two games tonight, two games tomorrow night that are now called the first four. But others are saying, you know what?
I think
you'll
have
just pick
Thursday.
That's what most people do. But the purists are now saying, no, you've got to have it in by this afternoon.
Well, I have a group of friends, and it got larger this year, so I expect it to be very competitive.
And there's no gambling, right?
No.
Because that would be illegal.
Sure. No. It's just for fun. And it's...
Oh, really? It is only just for fun?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, for bragging rights, it's
okay.
Through...
No, I know people, in theory, I've heard that happens.
Oh,
but...
No. For bragging rights, it's CBS or whatever.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Going
through
them, and then we have our own personal group, whatever.
Sure.
And no, if there's money on this, I didn't realize. I guess I should ask.
VCU. That's the Cinderella that I've got.
Okay.
All right. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening.